great to be here with you today, even though it's not quite in person. We do hope that all of you are doing well, especially considering the situations we find ourselves in. We as a family are trying to settle into a new way of life, and it's been challenging, as I'm sure it's been challenging for you too. For me, even the weather and even the food is different from Tanzania, and it takes adjustment as well. Before we left Tanzania, we had the opportunity of visiting and saying goodbye to a Swahili-speaking assembly in Dar es Salaam. And we've been there a number of times, but it's a fair distance from where we were living, so we didn't get there too often. But we always enjoyed a time of fellowship there and the breaking of bread with the leaders there. So we went primarily with the purpose of saying that we were leaving, coming back to Canada for now, and say goodbye. As we've been told, saying goodbye is very important in Tanzanian culture. And so while we were doing this and while we were there, they ended up saying that it was customary for them to pass on greetings through us to the churches in Canada. And so one person read a passage of scripture as their greeting. And so right now I'm wanting to pass on their greetings to you that they sent by reading the passage. I'm going to read it in English because it's hard to read in Swahili and you likely wouldn't get the same out of it anyway. So if you want to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, if you don't have your Bible, don't worry, I will be reading it as well. But the passage that was read was Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29, but in particular the verse that was pointed out was verse 27. I'll read those verses now. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves or put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant, heirs according to the promise. So that was the passage that was read, and again, verses 27 was kind of the key focus that the speaker said, which is, for all of you who were baptized into Christ, close yourself with Christ or put on Christ. And no great exposition was given. The only comment that was given was these things remind ourselves of our faith. And for the saved, for those of us that are saved, we are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. And we have put on Christ. And there is no difference. We are all one in Christ. So the believers at Kekuju in Dar es Salaam pass on their greetings. And as I was thinking about what to share on, and also wanting to pass on these greetings that I've been given to pass on, it got me thinking about greetings. And greetings are not just big in this assembly that we went to, but they're also a very big part of Tanzanian culture. There are so many different greetings. Special greetings for somebody that's distinctly older than you or superior, they have a special greeting for that. And that allows them to show respect to the elders. And it goes something like this. The younger person would say, Shikamo. And the older person would reply, Maraba, Jumbo. And then the younger one says, Si Jumbo. And it's such an important part of their culture that even kids would say this to as one of the first things to their parents. Even babies who can't speak are taught to put their hand on the forehead of people older than them to say shikamo, that greeting of respect. And greetings don't tend to be just like a simple hello, how are you, either. At times they can be a better part of a conversation. Even the people on the street, if I was walking out on the street, people didn't know me and they wanted to judge how much Swahili they thought I knew, they would do that through their greetings. They would start out with the common greetings and go to the less common greetings and see how far I could go and respond correctly to their greetings. And from that, they could kind of have an idea of how much I knew. So if I was going along and I said, Habari za subuhi, they would say, Nzuri, na wewe. Nzuri sana, habari za nyumbani. Mani, ni salama, na familia, wanaendelea vizuri, sijui wewe. Mani, ni vizuri pia. Je, watoto wanaendeleaje? Watoto wanaendelea vizuri. Wameenda shule. Wazima? Wazima. Safi? Safi kabisa. Kamakawa? Kamakawaida. Aya, waheri. All of those, except for the very last one, were different greetings that they could use. And so I ended up learning a large number of greetings, and I got to the point where people thought I could speak fairly fluently and understand what they're saying just because I could answer them appropriately in their greetings. So after they would greet me, then they would start talking. But my conversational Swahili was a lot lower than my greetings. So a lot of what they said kind of go up over my head. But I was recently reading and came across a greeting in the Bible that kind of stood out to me, and that is in Ruth. You don't have to turn there, I will read it, but it was in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 4. And so Boaz is who says this, and so I will read that to you now. Ruth 2 verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, May the Lord be with you. And they said to him, May the Lord bless you. So that whole verse, it was just a greeting. There was no conversation a part of it, and yet it's still recorded in the Bible. Verse 5 goes on to say, Then Boaz said to his servants, his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And then it goes on from there. And so we see that he starts out, even before he gets into his conversation, with this greeting. And it's not a greeting that I hear today, or it's not a greeting that I use. So it kind of stood out. And it got me thinking about how greetings are also a part in the Bible. And so I wanted to look and find out what are common things that are a part of greetings in the Bible. And as I looked, I kind of realized that there are two main kind of categories of greetings. Greetings for those people that you are first meeting. There's a greeting that you would say when you first meet them, but also greetings when it's time to depart or to leave or to say farewell. And so today I want to share a bit about what I noticed as I was looking into these greetings in the Bible, share some distinctive things that were said or done about greeting, and particularly with that, you know, when you first meet somebody, you greet them there. And to begin with, there's the heavenly beings. And when they come and they greet you, often it's recorded the phrase, do not be afraid. An example of this is with Daniel, with Zechariah, with Mary, the shepherds, and also when the women were looking for Jesus and they met the angel there. Jesus also uses this when he was walking on the water and at the transfiguration as well. And oftentimes you'll read the same words, but it's not necessarily a greeting, as more as a part of the message. An example of this is with Mary, the angel arrived and said, during the greeting, the angel said, you know, do not be afraid. Or with Joseph, when the angel said, do not be afraid, it was a part of the message. Do not be afraid to take Mary. And so sometimes it's a part of the message. But I also found as I was looking through, there are greetings that coincide with washing of feet. as well. And this is found as early as in Genesis with Abraham, and when the two angels of the Lord arrive, he offers them as part of his greeting to bring water so that their feet can be washed. And then even when the angels go to Sodom, Lot does the same thing when he invites them in and greets them. And there's references to it with Laban when Abraham's servant arrives and Joseph and his brother. And then in the New Testament as well, the two more memorable mentions of it is when the woman comes in it with her tears, she's washing Jesus' feet in the Pharisee's house. And then Jesus and his disciples when he washes their feet as well. Another more likely, there's as many, if not more, is greetings with kissing as well. So in the Old Testament, I think the first mention would be when Isaac is trying to deceive Abraham. But it's also mentioned when Jacob first meets Rachel, and then when Laban meets Jacob, and then when Jacob returns, Esau meets Jacob again. And there are some other examples in the Old Testament as well. And then in the New Testament, again, going back to the woman who, with her tears, was washing Jesus' feet, she was also kissing. Now, in that case, it was more kissing his feet. But there are also five times that it's included in words, in the concluding words of various books or in greetings at the end of the book. Four times Paul says it, and one time Peter says it. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And so there is the greeting and the kiss with that as well. But as I was looking at kissing, I also realized that there was greetings and kissing in the negative sense as well. And going back to that first one with Isaac and Abraham, Abraham ends up kissing Isaac to smell Isaac to see if he's his brother. And because Isaac's wearing his brother's clothes, Abraham is deceived. But then not only is it in there, Absalom was gaining the Israelites' trust through this greeting and kissing as well. And then further on, we see that Joab ends up killing Amasa while he was going to kiss him. And again, in the New Testament, when Judas betrayed Jesus, we see that as well. But finally, and likely the most common greeting or thing that happens in a greeting I found were found in the New Testaments, and it's in the letters that are written. And there are different variations of it, but the most common phrase is grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there are different variations of this. There's a few times, I think around three, when it's grace, mercy, and peace. But in most cases, it's grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is included 17 times. It's generally considered in connection to Paul's writing. However, of those 17 times, only 13 are actually of Paul. There are also two that are by Peter and two by John. And so today I wanted to focus in and look at this grace and peace greeting. Greetings with feet washing and kissing are likely a little harder in this social distancing time as well. And I know that our house could use a lot of grace and peace during this time. So the first mention of that is in Romans chapter 1, verses 7. But because I already have my Bible open to partway through Galatians, I'm just going to flip forward to Ephesians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles and want to flip forward to Ephesians chapter 1, can you do that with me? Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read the first two verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have it at the introduction, Paul's greeting the believers in Ephesus. And I want to start looking at these two words that he uses, grace and peace, but by starting and looking at that, I want to talk about what they are not. He doesn't greet them for good health or prosperity or that they would have a higher position. He uses the words grace and peace. And the first word, grace, is a Greek. It's similar to a different Greek greeting, and so it seems to have more of this Greek emphasis to it. Whereas peace, although it is written in Greek, has that idea of the Hebrew word shalom, which would be the traditional Jewish greeting. And so even in these greetings, as these writers write different believers, they're showing through this that God's truth and salvation is for both the Jews and the Gentiles. And as we read in the greeting, the believers in Dar sent in Galatians chapter 3, that for every person that is saved, we are all one in Christ. Salvation is not just for the Jews or for the Greek, it's for all of us. And so, when we look at the meaning for these words as well, grace has that idea or the context of favor or gift. You can understand it as an undeserved, unmerited love or favor. And as I was looking into this, somebody wrote this next phrase I'm going to say, and it helped me to kind of get a better grasp of grace. Grace is love in action. Grace is love in action. I like that phrase, and it helped me. So then with peace, again, peace is a Greek word, but it has that meaning that people would say with shalom. It's a harmony and tranquility. It's a resting calm. So those are kind of the general definitions for them. But I want to differentiate between the grace of God versus grace that is found in or from God. The grace of God is often connected to God's grace to us as sinners. So when we didn't deserve it, when we didn't do anything to receive it, per se, God sent His own Son to die for us. And He provided a way to be made right with us, with God, for those that accept it. And so this is God's grace demonstrated to us that we might be saved when we didn't and don't deserve. But because this is written to believers, I don't believe that that's the primary understanding that the writers were trying to communicate, because they were already saved. And so finding grace in or from God, it has more of the idea of that strength or the gifts from God that is needed in Christian life day to day. It equips and empowers us as Christians for the Christian life and service. It better allows us and helps us to be gracious to others, to build others up, and to give favor or good where it's not deserved or earned, or even without requiring anything in return. And as I know, in our house, that it's sometimes hard when there's all these things going on and we're all stuck together, to extend grace and have God's grace flow through us. I also want to differentiate between the peace with God and peace found in and from God as well. For we find that peace with God, again, is done with when we were as sinners in salvation. It's that rest and knowledge that the penalty for our sins has been paid, and all our sins have been forgiven, and we are never to be condemned for them. And we're covered by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, because this is written to believers already, I don't believe that this is necessarily the primary understanding of this meaning of peace. And it's peace found in or from God. And it more has the idea of our spirits at rest in all the challenging circumstances of life that we face. A resting calm that is independent of the circumstances, and it enables us as believers to face persecution, sorrow, or trials and troubles, because we can rest in God's sovereignty even when things around us are hard. And I remember when Krista had her chordoma and we're trying to get back. We went through really hard times as well, but through it all, we were able to rest in God's sovereignty and peace, the peace of God found in God. And so the grace of God and the peace with God are connected to salvation. The grace and peace found in God is something that we need for our daily living. But where is it found? Where is the source? Well, it's not found in ourselves. It's not found in our wealth or possessions. It's not found in our own well-being. It's not found in our friends or family or even our spouse. It's not found in other Christians or the church. The verse says it's from God. And most often when we read this greeting, it says, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But the one that we find in Revelation, which is Revelation 1 and 4, it also mentions the Spirit. And so we get the idea of the Trinity as being the source. But I want to take a quick look at the different parts. God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we get or find our source of this. God, he's the eternal creator of the universe, an all-powerful, all-loving God. But not only is he God, he's our God. And as Christians, we have the privilege of being able to call him ours. There's a possession or a connection and a relationship with him. Then it goes on to say, Father. And Father has that defining relationship. It's a personal relationship of care and appreciation and protection. It's better than any earthly fatherly relationship that we could have. It goes on, the reading goes on to say, and the Lord, Jesus Christ. And Lord has the meaning of the absolute master. He has full rights to all that we are and have. And then Jesus, the name Jesus brings the idea of that perfect person, the Son of God. Because he was man, it makes him relatable, someone that we can connect with. But he's also our Savior and our substitute. And then with Christ, this was referring to the Messiah, a divinely appointed, sent from God, the Lamb of God. And so this is where we find our source for this grace and peace. And so how do we have or get access to it? Well, God gives it freely. And when we are abiding in Christ, again, going back to the greeting in Galatians chapter 3 that was sent, it has the phrase of putting on or clothing ourselves or putting on Christ. And this may not be the most correct application, but daily in the morning, I put on and clothe myself with a pair of clothes for the day. And so to me, it seems like this is something that we need to do as well. Daily be putting on the Lord Jesus Christ in seeking him, in reading in his word, and learning and growing in him, on meditating on the things that we're learning, and dwelling in them and thinking of God, his word. And also with that, taking everything to the Lord in prayer. Another verse is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, which says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. And so in conclusion, my greeting to you today is an echo of what the apostle said. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish and pray that you have and grow in your grace and peace from God and Father. And with this, first of all, although I don't think it needs repeating to this group of people, first of all, we need to accept the grace of God through trusting in what the Lord Jesus did when he died in our place, accepting that for ourselves. And with, through that, we are then able to come to peace with God, and we will be made right. But secondly, more as Christians and as believers, that in our day-to-day life, I hope that we are more and more abiding in Him through reading and meditating and praying and seeking and taking advantage of this grace and peace that can be found in God. And I hope that we grace of God, from God, to face the days that we're in and its challenges, and sorrows, and trials. And also, that we would be able to rest in the peace in God in the midst of it all, recognizing who He is and being able to trust Him through these things. And so I pass on greetings from Dar es Salaam, but then I pass on these greetings to you as well. I pray that, especially in these times, that you can apply it and that you will have grace and peace from God. Father God, we thank You for this and other day, for that You have blessed us with, even though it's not the days that we are used to or familiar with. It's a day that You have given. You have been gracious to us and allowed us to have it. Thank You for the health and strength that You have allowed us to have as well. And we pray for those that are not doing so well, Lord, that You would be an encouragement to them, that they would rest it's harder times. Father God, I just pray that as we continue, that we would seek and continue to grow in our understanding of who You are, just how great awesome God You are. And through that, Lord, that we'll be able to rest and trust in You, knowing that You are in control of everything, and that You have a purpose and a plan, and that we can trust when the hard times come, and when the sorrows come. And thank You for this time that we can have together, though apart from each other. Lord, I thank You for technology that we can have to meet like this. And just pray that You would be honored and glorified through it all. We pray this all in the name of our Lord.